Okay, thanks to everyone who read. And at this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Karen.
Hi, everybody. My name is Karen. I'm an addict.
Okay.
It's really good to be here, and I would just like to thank, and I'd like to thank the committee, but most of all, you know, ever since I've been in the program, I've been taught, and through my own experience, I've seen that basically there are just no coincidences. And I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I was in a convention, and I was speaking there, and a few months after that, I get a phone call from, you know, whoever does this thing and said, look, my name is such and such, and we'd like for you to come down and speak on. And I'm, like, really confused, right? 10, 11, and 12th tradition. And I was like, 10, 11, and 12th tradition? You know, if you were to ask me to get up here and, like, you know, do, like, maybe give me an IP, do a topic meeting, or even, like, a step meeting, but, like, the traditions, you know, and I know throughout my recovery, I've been real oriented towards steps. And it's almost like the traditions of, like, sitting down and doing any work in that area hasn't been as prevalent as it has been with the steps. So they're asking me to speak on 10, 11, and 12, and I'm like, wait a minute, they must have heard something on that tape. You know, they listened to the tape and they chose me to do this, or thought, well, this person here, you know, we can ask her to do it. So I thought to myself, well, it must have been something on that tape without me saying, and this is the 10th and or 11th and or 12th tradition, but they heard my experience, strength, and hopes and said, this woman's practicing 10, 11, and 12. That's all I can think. You know, that's all I can think. I never try to pretend like I know something when I don't. I really don't. Sometimes tempted, and I've learned that when I do try to do something like that, it just doesn't work. You know, so I just have to honestly share with people. 9.5 years ago today, I had federal agents in my home. Okay? And I was clean, but that's all I was. That's all I was. There's a difference between clean time and recovery. I didn't know it then. I know it today. And this particular convention was one of the very first, well, it was the first convention I had ever been to with 30-something days clean. And when she called me, she told me March 28th, I thought, wow, man, because that date always sticks out in my head, because eventually I did go to prison, you know, for the wreckage of my past. And I went there for 5 years, and I've been home about 10 months now. And I thought to myself, once again, are there any coincidences? You know, to just this particular day, you're asked to come back to the first place that you ever came to a Narcotics Anonymous convention. You know, and now you're coming back and you're asked to speak. So all I can say, the point I'm trying to make is a tape from Baltimore got in somebody's hand somewhere and went somewhere else. And next thing you know, I got a phone call. So are there any coincidences, or am I right where I'm supposed to be with exactly who I'm supposed to be with? You know, with information I may have, the people before me. And the whole experience that I had today, obviously, I'm right where I'm supposed to be, even though I'm feeling inadequate about sharing on traditions. You know, and I noticed out there, and in the little book it says outside issues and principles, but when she gave it to me, it was like outside issues, attraction, and principles, I think it was. So I'm like, oh, well, God, I mean, why isn't that sign saying 10, 11, and 12th tradition? You know, why is it saying outside issues and principles? Well, 10 and 11, 12th tradition. So what I did was I made sure that I brushed up on the traditions, got it, works how and why, I got the basic text out, read them, sponsor came over, and, you know, we did like a little tradition study type thing, and sometimes for me, even with 8 years in this process, I need another human being to sit down and help me to recognize that I am practicing steps and traditions in my life. Because, see, I'll have the understanding and application, but sometimes I just don't know it. Like a lot of people that come in, I believe, and for myself when I came here, that I was practicing steps 1, 2, and 3, but I didn't know it. I just didn't know it because I didn't have the information. So I was doing things before I was even aware that I was doing them. You know, and then the level of awareness came and I knew, wow. And when I got that revelation, it was exciting because it's real exciting around here when you get an understanding or when I got an understanding and I started recognizing application in my behaviors and attitudes and my relationships and to myself, to my children, to the fellowship. You know, when I started seeing that my actions and behaviors and the ways that I was dealing with situations were different, and it was unlike any other way, unlike any way that I would have handled it before, it was just really neat. And it wasn't necessarily a struggle. It just started happening. You know, I don't do the force thing real well. You know, when I feel like I have to force myself to do something. So it's kind of like things that have come to me have, like, come to me when they were supposed to come to me. You know, and I remember early on, you know, and I was in a relationship early on, you know, when I came to the rooms, and we used to sit down and talk about the traditions a whole lot. So I've always had some kind of, like, understanding of the traditions. When they talked about the first tradition, they talked about our common welfare depended on NA unity. Well, that's kind of like self-explanatory. You know, I thought anyway. You know, unity, you know, to me, in my mind's eye, when I think of unity, it harmony, you know, coming together, you know, with another individual or individuals. And that was in the fellowship. And then I also had to take these things at home. You know, I also had to, that myself and my children, my husband, whatever, that we had to have unity in the family. You know, that there had to be unity there like it had to be unity anywhere. So that was just pretty simple for me. That was pretty much, all that pretty much said to me was the principle of unity was real important, that I had to learn how to get along with you, because the steps help me to live with me and the traditions help me to live with you. And when I say you, I'm talking about anybody in my life, not necessarily just the people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And of course, when it talked about number two for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And I'm not going to go through all of them because I don't know that I could really stand up here and communicate. Although I want to tell you, I don't know that it's me communicating. You know, I don't always have the answers. So sometimes I might say something out my mouth and wonder, where the hell did that come from? You know, so I'm just like what I do when I do any meeting. I just let it flow. And whatever's there to say, it will come out. And, you know, that's just what I'm doing. Because as I told you, I felt real inadequate. And I said to my sponsor last night, I said, you know what, Karen, her name's Karen, too. I really don't want to do this. You know, I'm not comfortable with this because I like the freedom. I want to say it's freedom. Of just like chairing a Narcotics Anonymous meeting or sharing my experience, strength, and hopes. But when I'm given a particular thing to share on, I become intimidated for some reason because somehow or another my ego wants to tell me I'm supposed to like give you this great big revelation and you're all supposed to walk out of here with like, man, I understood. Now I know. Now I understand. You know what I mean? And my ego wants to say that and do that and all that good stuff, right? And it's just not like that because, see, they tell me in the traditions that there are no stars around here. There are no public spokesmen. I represent nothing. You know, when it talks about a 10th tradition, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the NA name. ought never be drawn into public controversy. When I went over this with my sponsor, and years ago when I first got here, I knew that the traditions were to live with others and they were to be practiced no matter where I went. But basically, it was like the fellowship. And then I knew I could bring them also into my personal life, in my individual life. And there were some people who didn't agree, and that was okay. It worked for me. It definitely worked, so I was okay with it. And there was a lot of controversy about it, really. People were like, well, Karen, do you think that you can practice the traditions, you know, at home? Is it just like an NA thing when you're going to a meeting? No, absolutely not. You know, so I started just like, I had more of an understanding of how I could apply the traditions in my life, say in my family situations, than I did anywhere else for some reason. It just clicked there. And so what I had to do was, you know, go over with my sponsor, and as it was explained to me that she started talking to me about public information and stuff like that, because we have that. And that basically Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, rather be political, rather it be what do you feel about treatment centers, you know, rather it be anything outside of what we do. That I'm only to just give information on Narcotics Anonymous and how it works and what we have to offer. You know, it's not for me to stand anywhere and give my opinion anywhere, basically, in my individual relationships or even here as I speak. You know, as far as me giving my individual opinion on what I believe about something. You know, I seen in the fourth step that I was very opinionated and that I turned most people away because I always had to have an opinion about something and had no problem in voicing it. So for me now, through my experience, I had to learn how to not always want to give an opinion. You know, if somebody was sitting there and they were saying something that I didn't like or agree with, I didn't have to give my opinion on it. I just don't. They are entitled, you know, to whatever they believe, and I'm entitled to what I believe. And basically, we don't have no opinion as Narcotics Anonymous as a fellowship, because recently I was told United Way, you know, sent a large amount of money, you know, to Narcotics Anonymous. And it was sent back because we can't afford to have anyone dictate to us. And it has to do with we are fully self-supporting. You know, and so what do I take that into my personal life. Now, I'm not telling you if you're going to offer me money, I'm not going to take it, all right? I'm not that well. I'm just saying, you know, that's basically what that tradition says to me. I'm always ready to take what I learn through the steps and tradition and have application of this in my life. So, and we don't want no controversy. We're not trying to get involved with what the president's doing, you know, as a fellowship. We're not interested really in anything outside of our primary purpose. And what is our primary purpose? To carry the message to the addict who still suffers. That's it. That's all I'm here for, is to let you know when I got here in 1990, I never thought that I could live a day at a time without a use of a drug. I never thought that I could begin to grow into a relationship with myself and a God that I understand today. I never knew much of anything. And so when I came into this fellowship, which are the people, and when I started getting an understanding of steps and traditions in my life, it brought about a whole lot of self-awareness for me. And my life just started changing. You know, I just started seeing a whole lot of things that I didn't like about me, and I didn't want to do them things anymore. You know, I mean, 2.5 years clean, I ended up going to the prison, the wreckage of my past, and I don't know what all that was about. I just know that that when you sell cocaine, you go to prison when you get caught. You know, and it was definitely a learning experience for me, because through that entity, you know, I was able to teach 12-step workshops. I was able to continue to carry the message while I was there, and hope remained regardless whether I was there or not. And the bottom line is I had a purpose. You know, and I guess that kind of, you know, that will tie into the 11th. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We don't promote. We don't, like, you know, do commercials on TV and wave signs down at the federal building, you know, and all these types of things. We just don't do that here. Basically, people are attracted. And we were talking about this last night. And what are they attracted to? And it's really like the people that really know us, that have seen us come in here, and they see this drastic change in our lives. You know, we're such an example of the power, because, like, with our families, our friends, people that know us, and not only just people that know us, it could be people that we're just first meeting that just sense a productive member of society, a good person, a person who's trying to do something with their lives, you know. And my family sees a tremendous change. So what happens when somebody down the road is having a drug problem, and what do? Well, my daughter, you know, she started going to Narcotics Anonymous, and she's changed tremendously. You know, because see, my mother and my family seen changes, so it's like they believe. They just believe in this program, and it works. I don't have to tell them anything. I don't have to convince them, and I don't have to sell them. You know, and basically when I'm standing here, I don't have to sell it to you all. You know, but I do try to communicate, you know, what it was like for me, so that you don't always think that I was, like, just okay either. You know, that you need to know I prostituted, that you need to know I stuck needles in my arms. You need to know all that stuff as a form of a level of identification, because you might think I was okay. You know, you might think I was okay. I need to let you know I stole. You know, I did what I had to do. They talk about getting and using. And I did those things at anybody's expense, including my own. It didn't matter. And still sometimes today, to be perfectly damn honest with you, when the disease wants to manifest, I can go there quick. I can do that. You know, this is not something that I arrive one day and that I don't have to be vigilant every day and ask God, who I understand, to surrender to that God on a daily basis every day and just ask this God, however you work, just help me just for today. You know, and it seems to work. My life has become real, real simple, and I don't have a whole lot of, like, wants outside of me, and that's real different for me. You know, that I don't, like, Keith over here. Keith is a little familiar of what my past was like. And he said it just kind of like re-entered into my life after years and years and years. And it's like, my God, you were nasty, Karen. You were so nasty. I said, well, didn't you know I prided myself in that? Do you know what my license tag said? But it said Nasty K. I liked being nasty. I like prided myself that you thought I was nasty. You know, that I was just like this nasty person. And the fact of the matter is, that wasn't me. It wasn't me. But I didn't know I had all these defense mechanisms and all these masks. And I didn't know about, you know, the things that were inside of me and secrets. And I had to expose them. And I had to get honest. And I had to let you know that basically I couldn't stand myself and don't know how to live with me, and certainly don't know how to have relationships. I don't know how to be all right in my own skin. What can I do? You can work the steps, Karen. You can go through the steps and traditions, and you can find a new way to live. That's what you can do. You know, and of course, going to meetings and people were cheering and they were sharing their experience, and I related right into. You know, I related into, you know, how they felt, basically. And that just gave me a little bit of hope to know that maybe this thing does work. And that's all it was. That's all it was, just a little bit. Maybe this thing does work. Maybe it does. And I enjoyed hearing Greg tonight because he was talking a whole lot about, you know, surrender. I mean, these days, that's just like the main, it's just like the main thing in my recovery today is surrendering and getting out of the way, just getting out of the way, you know, and for me, and I would imagine, you know, for most, because sometimes I want to think that I can go to pretty deep levels of surrender, and it ain't fun sometimes. You know, it ain't fun. It's hurtful, it's painful, and it's scary. You know, where I know that, once again, my solution is just surrendering to the God that I understand. And that this program has helped me begin that journey. You know, it just has. And I thank God for that. You know, that I've been given some tools that when life just happens, that I can get through without the use of a drug, without the use of a man, without the use of a wardrobe, without the use of a diamond, without the use of whatever is going to take me out of me. And I learned around here, you know, I used to hear all this stuff when I got here about going through the feelings and getting on the other side. And, you know, I've been around, eight of the years that I've been here, I haven't been here. 5 of it, I was in prison, as I told you. But still, thank God, I was able to stay connected. You know, I can't tell you how many big cards I used to get from these Ocean City conventions, and they used to send them up to me, and you know, got the opportunity for the World Convention. It was piped in the federal prison in 94. That was real exciting. And was able to speak into a convention in Massachusetts when I was in the prison, and I spoke through the phone. And I've been given, you know, for someone who went to prison, I had been given a whole lot of opportunities to stay connected, because that was my greatest fear. And to be honest with you, I try to keep this thing real simple. You know, I know that there are people who can really expound, you know, and they start talking about, like, they just get really deep. And personally, I like it, you know, when they start, like, talking about harmony and they just start, like, getting into this spiel. And I don't mean that in a negative way, where, like, it just raises my level of thinking, because I believe that's what we do for one another. You know, when I sit around or I stand here and talk about how this program's worked, when I say that, I mean 12 steps, 12 traditions, and the people and the God that is in my life, it's just amazing to me. It's just amazing how I have changed. Not situations outside of me hasn't necessarily changed, but I have. You know, and in 95, when my husband told me he wanted to do something else, I was devastated once again. You know, the literature talks about, I believe it's in the literature where it talks about the manifestation, or how does it go? Substitute one for another. And we release our addiction all over again. So when the drugs were gone, substituted it with a man, and I released my addiction all over again. So having not been involved in the fellowship in that time, the love that I believe is so sorely needed for myself, and I would like to believe that's what most of us need, but I don't know what you need. You know, I only know what I need. And I need gentle people in my life. And I need people who are going to point out the good in me and not always point out the critical. You know, I need people to not judge me even though I'm doing something that just doesn't seem healthy. You know, I believe everything that I go through is basically gets me to where I need to be. But then I also have to look at what's self-created also. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. The 12th tradition, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before our personalities. And you know what? I've always had such a damn difficult time getting an understanding of anonymity and not necessarily knowing it, but internalizing it. What is this thing, anonymity? And I'm talking for a lot of years. I would look it up in a dictionary and it, like, nameless and, you know, Karen P. And all this sort of thing. But it's like, I want it more than that of an understanding. And someone kind of enlightened me. Like, they said, Karen, once you take all the personality out of everyone, you know, we have one thing in common. Recovery, addiction and recovery. We have one thing in common. You know, so in reality, what I've learned really is I'm no different than you and you are no different than me. You know, that there is a oneness because we all suffer from the same disease. And we all get to where we need to be and shed the things that I need to let go of so I can just be a fully clean person inside. You know, not necessarily for you, for me. You know, for me to be able to live with me. And I believe that's what these steps and traditions are all about. They're just giving me new ways of dealing with people. You know, healthier ways, less defensive ways. And I believe that's just what it's about. And I just think it's that simple. You know, I just don't feel as though complicating it any makes any damn sense to me anymore. And me trying to, like, do anything else other than to just simply tell you that this thing works. You know, and I know that through my own experience because I know that I'm not doing the things that I used to do, you know, that were destructive to me, you know. And ironically, it's just been revealed to me recently in my recovery that the joke's on me. If I want to continue to have a negative attitude or belief system, I'm only hurting me anyway. I mean, I'm acting out, and yeah, you're probably going to be offended or affected, but the bottom line is, I'm only hurting me. So I want to thank you all for listening, and I'm so glad this is over. And I'll keep coming back.
Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Andy.
Hi, my name's Andy, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Andy.
I too was somewhat troubled by the topic when I got the call because I don't spend a lot of my day, you know, thinking about the traditions. But over the last 2 months, I've gotten some chance to look back and think about stuff, and I was listening to what Karen had to say, and for myself, I have to look at it and think about what I'm doing about it in my daily life, you know, what the traditions are doing in my life. And I looked at these traditions and I said, you know, well, basically they all go together. You know, they're all in the same theme of things. And for me, they look like the saving grace of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, these three traditions to me are what saves Narcotics Anonymous from the addicts who are in it. You know, because you know, we were the ones that carried the trouble with us when we went from place to place, when we switched from drug to drug, and you know, when the guy who you know, gets on the news or something and says something about Narcotics Anonymous and he has 10 years clean, shows up on the 6 o'clock news the next night after he nodded out and ran over 10 people, you know, what does it say about Narcotics Anonymous, you know? And, you know, that's not a specific example, but it's an example of what can happen if we do what these things say we shouldn't do. And, you know, for me, that's the bottom line, you know, because, you know, it has to be this way, or else Narcotics Anonymous can't have, you know, the power that they do to do what they do, you know. And what Narcotics Anonymous does is keep people clean on a day at a time basis. You know, it doesn't say that, you know, we're going to make you a movie star or we're going to put you on a billboard or whatever. You know, it says we can keep you clean a day at a time, you know. And, you know, I know for myself that, you know, I had to, you know, I had to stop and think about some of these, you know, because, you know, I know that, you know, I have opinions on a lot of stuff, you know, but I know when I deal with stuff oriented with Narcotics Anonymous, I have to leave that out of it, you know. Karen was talking about, you know, getting a lot of help when she was in, you know, in jail, and people sent her cards and people did stuff. Well, they did that because they were following the rules of the institution and doing what they asked and not, you know, giving opinions on, well, we think you ought to give them a fifth meal a day, or, you know, give them an extra hour in the yard, or, you know, whatever. They let the institution deal with their own institutional stuff, and they just took a Narcotics Anonymous meeting in there, you know. I've had an opportunity to speak at a number of places, you know, a number of institutions over the years, and, you know, I've spoke at, you know, maximum security prisons, at minimum security prisons, and, you know, I don't go in and say, you know, well, you know, gee, I think you ought to, you know, give them another basketball, or, you know, I just go in, I tell them a Narcotics Anonymous message, and I leave, you know, and that's what they ask for, that's what we give them, you know. I know that I don't want to jeopardize that because people like Karen or other people, you know, I hear so many people in the meeting say, you know, oh, I heard Narcotics Anonymous in a, you know, in a rehab and in a detox and jail, whatever, you know, and you know, it got me to go to another meeting when I got out. You know, it got me to go down the road and listen to that guy who had something more to say, you know, because I liked what he said when he came into the meeting. You know, I can't argue with that. You know, there's just too many people that have learned about Narcotics Anonymous through those means, and you know, in order to jeopardize that is just unconscionable. You know, I mean, it's one of the biggest ways that Narcotics Anonymous gets to people. You know, I know when I was getting high, I didn't know about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it wasn't until I went to some sort of institution like that I found an H&I meeting came in and I heard about Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And, you know, that's what this thing is meant, it's set up to save, you know, because, you know, we don't always have the right answers, you know, we don't always know what's the right thing to say, you know, and I know in my personal life, you know, I basically follow these same things in my personal life, you know. I have a business of my own, and I do these same things in my business. I don't go to a customer's house and start talking politics to them. You know, I don't go to a customer's house and start talking about, you know, this person or that. You know, I deal with business aspect of things, and I leave. You know, I don't get into conflicts with them, you know. And as a result, I do exactly what this is. I don't advertise. You know, all of my business is done through word of mouth and referral business, you know. And that's basically what we do, you know. Karen said, you know, people come to her and ask, you know, well, my daughter has a problem, my son has a problem, whatever. I get that a lot, you know. But all I can do is say, if you want to meet me at this meeting, you know, I'll go with this to this meeting with you. You know, I can't drag somebody to a meeting. You know, I can't, you know, if they want to look how I live my life and they like what they see, you know, then they can come to a meeting and they can have a chance at it. You know, I can't, you know, call them up and beg them to come, or, you know, offer them $5 to come with me or whatever. You know, I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do, you know, and you know, I really don't think that any television commercial would have saved me when I was getting high. You know, I don't think any of that stuff, you know, I would have looked at that joker, you know, and went right onto the next page, you know, right onto the next channel. You know, it would not have saved me. You know, it wasn't until I was ready to do something about my problem, and I ended up in a place where they were, you know, bringing in an H&I meeting, that, you know, I was willing to do something about it. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that, you know, when I was getting high, that people said stuff, you know, well, this or that, you know, you should do this, or, you know, you got a problem or whatever. I wasn't listening, you know, and you know, so I really don't see how that stuff, you know, is gonna you know, save anybody. I know for me that you know, the 11th step, you know, and the 10th step are very similar. Like I said, they have basically to do with the program itself and saving it from ourselves. But the 12th one, you know, is a little bit different for me, because the anonymity is you know, it's more than just you know, not having an opinion or whatever. It's like that doctor privilege, you know, doctor-patient confidential privilege. You know, there's not an exception to it. You know, you just can't. You know, if you go to a meeting and you hear something, or someone tells you something in the confidence of an NA meeting, or you know, in the line of that NA theme, you know, you just can't do anything with it. It's yours, and you got to take it with you. You know. You know, I've had some personal experience with this where, you know, I found myself caught up in the middle of, you know, ongoing crimes, you know, where I knew that this was an ongoing thing, you know, and I had to, like, personally take it with me and leave it, you know. I couldn't do anything with it, because if I did, you know, then, you know, so this investigation is going to start on the meeting, and, you know, they're going to watch this meeting, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and you know what, then that just destroys the meeting. You know, I mean, that's the end of Narcotics Anonymous as you and I know it. You know, whether I think it was right for someone to do something or another thing, it doesn't really have any bearing on it. You know, I can't do anything with it. You know, when they say at the end of the meeting that what stays in this meeting, you know, what's said in this meeting stays in this meeting, you know, for me, that's, you know, that's gospel. You know, I mean, it has to be that way, you know, because I know when I go to a meeting and, you know, I talk about something, you know, I don't want to hear about it 6 months later from somebody else as a story in a meeting about, you know, this guy was talking. I don't want to hear about it, you know. I don't want to hear that, you know, Joe Schmo's doing this with, you know, Bob, and, you know, whatever. I don't care, you know. As far as I'm concerned, you know, that stuff is, you know, you might as well just be going to the confessional with the priest, you know, because it doesn't have any place where, except for where it was said, you know. I think that the three of these are really, you know, the cornerstone of the rest of the traditions. You know, I've done a fair amount of service in my recovery, and, you know, I've heard these traditions, you know, argued one way and this and that, and, you know, this person says this and that person says that, but the three, you know, at the end are, to me, you know, they're carved in stone. You know, there's no interpretation. You know, there's really not a, well, I'm going to look at it a different way. You know, we just don't do it. You know, it's kind of like Karen was saying. It's just cut and dry. You know, I mean, it's the bottom line. And I, like I said, with my business, you know, I have to look at it that way. You know, because with you know, with my life, you know, I have to I have to do what I have to do to, you know, to maintain, to keep going. And I don't want to get caught up in that stuff. You know, I don't want to get caught up in, you know, well, this guy's doing this and this guy's doing that, so I better do what they got to do. I got to do what I got to do, you know, and I got to do what I got to do for my life, you know. And you know, if Bob wants to do something and Joe wants to do something, that's their business, you know. But for me, I have to do what I have to do. And you know, I think the only way that Narcotics Anonymous is going to stay on the straight path is to follow these, you know, traditions implicitly. I really don't know what else much to say about them. So I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to speak, and thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks to Karen and Andy. We still have some time. If anybody wants to come up and share, they can do so.
There's like people that send us our subcommittee stuff about, like, you know, surveys about how we feel about this and how we feel about that. Drug-related issues and issues that people would, like, think that, like, we have some kind of opinion about, but we don't. Really, Narcotics Anonymous doesn't say anything about what kind of sentencing we think that addicts should get who get, like, arrested, what kind of this and that. And we deal with that on public information. And we also go into school and go into places and talk about that. And teachers come up to us and ask, well, how do you think we should handle these children who are, like, problematic children? How do you think we should, like, deal with these people? And we don't have opinions on that. We're basically there to say that, you know, no addict seeking recovery need ever die. With 11, that's actually kind of the something that we deal with a lot. Kind of on the contrary of what Karen was saying, we do have TV commercials out there. Not many people see them. We have radio announcements out there, and not many people hear them. Public information deals with that. And it's a real fine line between attraction and promotion. How do you go on TV and try to reach addicts without promoting the fellowship? How do you go on radio and try to reach addicts without promoting the fellowship? How do you put flyers up or put billboards or boards on subways or buses without promoting? And the way that that it's been handed down to me, and the way that we go about doing it on the regional level and in our area level, is we don't go out and try to pull in the addicts and grab the addicts. We ask the simple question: are drugs a problem? Are you tired? Are you lonely? Are you sick of using drugs? If you want help, please call. And basically, right there, that's attraction, because it's saying if you want help, it's not we want to give you help. You know, it's not promoting us saying, let's go out there and, like, you know, get all these people. It's basically trying to bring them in, you know, trying to say, do you want help? You know, there's people there if you want help, and you can give us a call. And we do that stuff, and it's, like, not a lot of people see it. And like, the TV commercials are usually on public access television, and they're run late at night, and people don't see them. And I don't think that in the Free State region where I'm from that we have any radio announcements on any, like, main big radio stations that get run. We have, like, some on small radio stations that most people don't listen to, but they're there. And it's something that we really have to focus on our subcommittee level, as far as not breaking these traditions, because it's huge, like, going out there and, like, jeopardizing the fellowship. It really is. As far as, like, you know, the 12 tradition, it's like, you know, basically to me what it means is, like, you know, I have to check everything at the door when I go in. Like, I am no longer, you know, Mike who lives at so-and-so who is, like, this many years of old or who, like, has done this or that, or, like, you know, who's the son of this person or that person. You know, I'm like Mike S. and I'm an addict. And that's how, like, I have to carry myself as far as, like, my service work also. I got a letter a couple weeks ago from a committee who's, like, who wants to, like, do a good thing. They want to honor somebody for service work, and they sent me, like, a thing to fill out to send in to put in someone's name so they can give this person a plaque and honor them for service work. And, like, I had to write them a letter and say, we are anonymous fellowship. We don't do that kind of stuff. We don't, like, you know, what we do is for ourselves. You know, it's for our own personal recovery. And we can't, you know, if we were to send a person out there to you to, like, receive a plaque, that would be breaking their anonymity as just another addict. And that would, like, have, like, the public see them as someone better than they are, someone bigger than they are. It would, like, have that I'm like looked up to, like, oh, that's the person who, like, this great like service person from NA. And it was like how Andy was saying, well, the next day they can go out and use and do whatever, and then like it's only this great person who, like, this great service person from NA is out there, like, you know, robbing banks. And I don't know, I'm gonna like shut up and let someone else share. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Anybody else like to share?
Hi, my name is Bonnie and I'm Maddox. First, I'd like to thank my higher power for another day of life and another day of recovery for this event, which is truly amazing. You know, being here at this convention is an honor and a privilege, and just to see so many recovering people. I can't even express it. But you know, for me, I'm attracted to chaos and confusion, and I love controversy. You know, anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film, and hearing him talking about commercials. See, the first thing in my mind, they break the traditions. You know, this June I have 9 years clean. And I'm going to tell you, I've heard this said many times, clean time do not equal recovery. And you know, it's a lot of times you're going to be at meetings and you're going to hear things that I'm quite sure you might have a legitimate argument about. But that's why we have to get involved with service, so we can know. When I was at the Hit House, and I wanted to know who had the package or whatever, I didn't go over there and like stay on the wayside and wait to see. I went directly to the source and found out who had it. You see what I'm saying? Who was this and where was that? I made sure I found out. So like coming around, like a lot of times I know for me, I have to get involved in service and I have to show up. And I have to raise my hand and ask questions so I can know firsthand what's going on. So when I hear things, I don't have to form an opinion, because I'll do that real easy. I'll hear her say something, I'll hear him say, I hear anybody say something, and I'll sit back and form an opinion because I know everything. Because I've been around here long enough, I know. You know, and a lot of times I don't know. But my opinion is valid. And that's one thing I realized coming around this fellowship, that my opinion is valid. And I have a right to feel the way I want to feel. But I also have a right and a duty to get firsthand knowledge of the situation so I could be clear. Because see, getting misinformed information, I use. And I'm going to say, not all the time drugs. I'm talking about clean. Being in the fellowship. Anger. Lust, gluttony, greed. I used over a lot of things. I used a lot of ways. Because I heard what I want to hear, and I did what I wanted to do. I'm going to be honest. The reason why I came up here and said something, I never shared at a convention like this. And this was a chance. You know, and sometimes I know today I need to take charge and do something about my recovery. You know how you sit down and I'm going to tell you, a lot of traditions, a lot of things I really don't know about. But I know every time I like sit in the back or in the side or whatever and hear people talk, I wish that was me. I wish that was me. And I get filled up over what somebody else say. I wish I could have said, I did something today and I feel good about that. And I love y'all. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
My name is Mike, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Mike.
And first of all, I want to thank Karen, and I want to thank Andy and Mike for coming up and sharing on the 10th, 11th, 12th tradition. And I can relate to the lady that just sat down. I mean, one of the reasons I'm up here is because a couple months ago, about 5 or 6 months ago, I was asked to do a
meeting for a speaker jam. And when I got up to the mic, man, I was so terribly afraid of what everybody was going to think about me, man, that I was up on the mic like this, right? And I was all up in deep, all up into it and shit. And I was up there for like 5 minutes, and I was scared. I was worried about what my sponsor and my grand sponsor, my network thought about me when everybody else would. I was all like this. And for about 5 minutes, I just shared whatever and said, I'll keep coming back. But now to get past that, is that really I ain't got to be scared no more. You see, I can get up here in front of y'all and know from the seventh step, that humility means that ain't none of us greater or less than anybody else in here, that we're all equal. So if I'm equal with y'all, and it's God that works through us, then I ain't got nothing to fear but fear itself. But I too, you see, I got a position in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. As to do softer service work around here, and it's not a big service job. You know what I mean? It's a little something. My secretary meeting, but it means an awful lot to me. And if you read the literature, like I read the literature, and get involved, then you accumulate a lot of information and you start applying it to your life. You know what I mean? And if you read the group booklet and the group pamphlet, it'll tell you that when we select group officers, that we make sure that they are mature in their recovery, and that when they are maturing in recovery, they have a working knowledge of the 12 steps and that they're applying, the 12 traditions, and that they're applying them to their life. Because I truly believe that the traditions are the ties that bind us together as a greater whole, as a fellowship and as a group. You know what I mean? And if those bonds are strong, then there's nothing that can tear us apart, controversy or nothing. And I've been involved lately with the... Actually, I've been reading a lot on the 10th and the 11th tradition, and I didn't even know this meeting was about that tonight. But the reason being so is because I live in a small town, you know, a small city, you know, it's Frederick. And it's just like, I don't know, man, it's just, I used to be involved with a lot of tradition breaking. You know, and there's some people in this room tonight that know that, man, I would get up in front of everybody and I would break the tradition and dare you to say something to me about it after the meeting. Then when I would go after the meeting, man, I would fucking run away so nobody would say nothing. You know, but I know that when they're talking about we have, NA has no opinions on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. What they're saying for me is that, like Karen and everybody else said, is that when it comes to, you know, treatment industries, you know, other 12-step programs or anything else like that, we ain't got no opinions for the simple fact that the only thing that we're here, you know, to consider is what we do in Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? And I truly believe is the biggest thing I always had a problem with was combining 12-step programs together. You know what I mean? And I would always break those traditions, and people would say something to me, and I would get offended and say, well, it's my personal program. Yeah, but really what we come into Narcotics Anonymous to do is to hear a message from Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? And I truly believe that that when we bring other speakers, you know what I mean, when we come in here and read other literature or quote from books that we've read in other programs, that what we're doing is that we're endorsing that program and not Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I came here to hear a message from Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and what I want, and I believe that, you see, I got a sponsor from Narcotics Anonymous who's got a sponsor from Narcotics Anonymous who's got a sponsor from Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? I read my basic text. I read my work channel, why am I just for the day, and my literature. You know what I mean? And I show up for Narcotics Anonymous on a daily basis. What any other 12-step program does, they do. You know, I ain't got no opinion on them. Rather be pro nor con. You know, I got nothing negative or nothing positive to say about it for a simple fact that I ain't involved. You know, I'm involved with the program and the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous because it saved my life. You know, so for real, the reason I don't get involved with it is because controversy develops. You know, because I remember a couple months ago being out in front of a meeting arguing with somebody over what they were doing with their program. They come to me and they said, you know, I got a sponsor from another fellowship. You know what I mean? What do you think about that? And I was like, well, you know, I ain't got no opinion with you doing your program, but if you're going to be in here in Narcotics Anonymous and you're going to come in here and you're going to share, I think you need to respect the newcomer and share what we do here in Narcotics Anonymous and not what you do in another fellowship. Because if they want to hear what they were doing in another fellowship, then they can go to that other fellowship, you know. And I say that from experience because I used to do that, you know, but now I know, you know, and I believe deep in my heart that, if, you know, you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. And today I stand for Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and don't, you know, that's a lot to do with why I'm up here, but see, I'm just getting over some fear. You know what I mean? I'm coming up here because I can't stand in front of people because I'm self-centered. You know what I mean? I'm so self-centered that I'll be so afraid to share what's really going on and how I'm really doing. But, you know, I also want to share, you know, the 11th tradition our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. And you see, I'm applying. See, my sister's in the program now. She's going on 3 months clean. She's got a sponsor from Narcotics Anonymous. She's working Narcotics Anonymous steps, and we live together. And for the last three, you know, I'm 22, she's 25. We ain't never got along. Never, ever. You know what I mean? In the last past, you know, 7.5 years since I've been in and out, I always try to promote the program to her and my mother. You know, I would take the basic text and I would say, read it, do what I do. If you don't, get out of my life, don't talk to me. You know what I mean? You got to go to this meeting, you got to go to that meeting. You know what I mean? I would pound it in their heads and I'd tell them if they didn't want to read the book, if they didn't want to apply the principles and they didn't want to go to meetings as much as I did, then they'd get out of my life. Because I was trying to promote it. You know what I mean? Instead of attracting them by my actions. And that's what I do today. My sister gets up in front of everybody in the meeting. You know, I had her share the meeting for me a couple weeks ago. And you know, she melted my heart, man. She hit me right at home because she told everybody in the meeting that if it wasn't for my brother, and she ain't even interested in this, and she's on the first step. She used the word attraction. If it wasn't for my brother attracting me to this program, by the way it has changed his life, I wouldn't probably be here today. And that made me feel good. Because a year and a half ago, I surrendered to the fact that if I was powerless over my own addiction, how the hell can I control somebody else's? I had to step away and love them from a distance, allow them to be where they were. Because that's what they taught me in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, today, my sister's at this convention. She's sitting in the meeting right now about God-centered versus self-centeredness. She's living and enjoying life. You know what I mean? And she's all there by the attraction and not the promotion. You know what I mean? And for me, the 12 tradition is all the other traditions bound together. You know what I mean? It's just where it all comes together. It's a reminder from 1 through 11 that for real, that our group, you know, Narcotics Anonymous unity must come first. You know what I mean? Because without this program, the individual will die and perish. You know what I mean? And I firmly believe that if we stick to these programs, I mean, to these suggestions that this program has to offer us, man, all will be well. And I'll keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you,
sir. We have a couple more minutes for one more.
I'm gonna add it again. My name's Aaron. Pretty much, you know, I got it says understanding these traditions come slowly over a period of time, and I didn't really start like getting into traditions when I started secretarying a meeting. And I broke some too, and people pointing them after me, and that's how I started getting to understand them. But I became a GSR, and I like entrenched myself in Narcotics Anonymous, and I wanted to know as much as possible. And I was listening to people share on the traditions, the 10th and 11th, and they pretty much touched it. But what I wanted to share on was about the 12th tradition of what like with my experience with it recently in my home group on the group level and in the GSR level. And I was listening to my man talk about anonymity, that like you're just an addict in your name. But I found that, like, in my group and in my area, that, you know, saying my name's Aaron H. and I'm an addict was really not good enough because, like, if I was a circuit speaker, you know, they're talking about personalities. But a lot of personalities was flaring in the group. And, like, the fourth tradition is group autonomy. Each group makes up their own group autonomy unless it affects NAs or others. On here, autonomous separate matters affecting other groups or NA. And like certain people was able to do things, but certain people wasn't able to do things. And you know, that says that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all traditions. Every mind is placed principles before personalities. It don't matter if I'm Aaron H. the circuit speaker or Aaron H. just a regular Joe addict that comes in a meeting, like I can't break these traditions. They're non-negotiable. And I feel like, I believe that like it should just be an addict. No personality, no face to that addict. Like in my group, we had a discussion, and I was like, an addict wants to celebrate here. But we had group autonomy that, like, you had to attend full group consciousness. And this person was like wanting to celebrate here, and I believe that he shouldn't have been able to celebrate there because he wasn't a home group member, and all of a sudden he wants to celebrate, but they're going to let him, but they ain't going to let this other person celebrate because personalities. I found that it happens a lot in this program, man, and it says these traditions are non-negotiable. And I don't care who you are. Non-negotiable means non-negotiable. There ain't no other bottom line to it. Non-negotiable is non-negotiable. And that's what I got to understand of that tradition. And I started getting to understand the other traditions, food service work, like my man was talking about. Our public relations policy based on attraction rather than promotion, we need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And basically for me, that was like, I can't go on press or radio films and talk about I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? I can go on there and say, like, I'm a member of 12-step fellowship, and that's how I got my help. But I can't, like, promote Narcotics Anonymous on radio, on films or like that. And like you was talking about, man, I've seen them things on the TV and on the things, and it don't promote. It just says if you have a drug problem, like you was talking about, and it don't say nothing. And me and Karen was talking on the way up about these traditions. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Has the NA name on there, be drawn into public controversy. And she was talking about, like, if somebody come to her or come to me and ask me, like, what should I do about my daughter wanting to have abortion? She's on drugs and have abortion. And I told her, go ahead and have an abortion as a Narcotics Anonymous member. She was like, well, them people from Narcotics Anonymous gave me some bad opinions on what to do. So, like, if I'm trying to give her help, I just said, like, Narcotics Anonymous work for me. And that's all I need to say. You can come to a meeting like you were saying. And I'm going to add, my name's Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks to those who everyone who shared, and somebody will have the reading just for today. Can we come and read it, please? Hey, Jamie.
Just for today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program I will try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Here we have a nice way of closing.
Okay, what's your name? Getting ready to call it a microwave.
I'm
that was sending up there.
You're going back, brother. You're leaving. You on your way back now?
My job is for
That's right.